Hey guys, welcome to Pitch Talks, right here at Ketch Brewery in Astoria. My name is Jason Pateri. I am the event producer for the evening. I'm really, really excited that you all could join us tonight. This is our first show in Astoria, in Queens, and this is our fourth show overall in New York. So I'm really excited. Just in case you guys are not too familiar with us, we started up in Toronto, Canada, by our founder, Kevin Kennedy. They're doing a great job up there, but we all know if something has to be successful, you have to come to New York, baby. So let's do this. All right? First, I want to extend a thank you to Katie Spites and Matt English. Without them, they've been very, very important. So without them, the show wouldn't go on. So I really appreciate that. All right. Listen. The Mets have lost two in a row. The Nationals have won two in a row. Nobody can utter collapse in this room tonight. We're not doing it. We're not doing it, folks. This team is too good. The pitching is too good. There's too many storylines to talk about tonight, so we're not doing that. We got Cespedes. He's doing great. He has 17 home runs since they acquired him. He's been awesome. Matt Harvey, the innings limit controversy. It's ridiculous. We all know that. But we can talk about that. Jacob DeGrom. David Wright's healthy, so it's going to be really exciting. The Yankee series is coming up here tomorrow at Citi Field, ready to sweep them. We all know that. So there's a lot to be talked about tonight. Let me introduce the three panelists first. Once we do that, we can get the show on the road here. The first panel is the Amazing Avenue Audio. It's a podcast. We're going to do a live podcast here tonight. Jeff Paternostro, Greg Karam do a great job over there at the blog Amazing Avenue. You're going to have two guests, Maggie Wiggin from Mets Blog, Toby Hyde from Mostly Mets Podcast, and SNY.TV. I'm really excited for those guys to be here. Our second panel is going to be the radio guys, Eddie Coleman from WFN, longtime Mets reporter, Eddie Coleman. Also, Pete McCarthy from WOR Radio. He's a show from 7 to 10 p.m. every single night. Definitely check it out. He's here as well. They're both first-timers, so I'm really excited for them to be here. Pete also lives in the area, Astoria. Listen, anybody wants to come by afterwards, they're going to serve coffee and cake, so you're more than welcome to stop by. Absolutely. And our third panel, I'm really excited for them to join us once again, is Mark Carrick from Newsday, Anthony Tacoma from MLB.com. They were with us back in May at BB King's in Manhattan. They were awesome. So I'm really glad that they're back. So without further ado, let's give a round of applause for the Amazing Avenue Audio Podcast.
Three mics for four people. This is going to be really awkward. All right, seats. Oh, my God. Just so I can gauge before we get started, how many people in the audience have actually listened to the show before? Okay, one. So I think there's probably at least another 10% that won't admit it publicly, which is probably balanced out by the Amazing Avenue writers that I know are here that are lying, that they've actually listened to it. But salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to another edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me this week is Greg Karam, Maggie Wiggin from Mets Blog, Toby Hyde from Mostly Mets Podcast, and Mets Minor League Blog. So in that spirit of a sort of like a crossover edition, really, you know, SB Nation and SNY, Mostly Mets and Amazing Avenue Audio. I'll start, as I always do, with an opening question, shamelessly ripped off from the English soccer podcast, The Football Ramble. So, in the spirit of a crossover, what TV show, past or present, would you like to see the 2015 Mets guest star on in one of those, like, Homicide, Law & Order, or Heart to Heart and Magnum P.I. type crossover events?
So, the first thing is, potentially, Lucas Duda on one of my all-time favorites on Kids in the Hall. It would be bizarre and perfect.
So we have a rule that you can't answer these questions with Lucas Duda anymore because okay. the answer right. to every right, well, every right. clever question about the 2015 Mets that I come up with, it's always only funny if you answer Lucas Duda. Like, who would be a serial killer? Lucas Duda. Who would be, you know, what should Lucas Duda do in Japan? Well, anything. It's funny. Sumo wrestling. Go to the Holocaust Museum, I think was Rob's idea.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, you know, he gets really into it, though. He has, like, the little guided tour with the headphones and... I said Holocaust Museum. I meant the Hiroshima Museum.
The other obvious one is put you on a Cespedes on The Walking Dead to see how far he can
get. Yeah, how far he can get, yeah. That's a good one. I like that better than the Lucas Duda one. Maggie.
All right, I think this is probably because I'm hungry, but Top Chef, because of the drama, the interpersonal drama, and then the interstitials where they all get drunk waiting for the judging results, because then all of the gloves come off and they start telling like all of the dark secrets, and I would love to hear like drunk Juan Uribe talking about like what happened in the clubhouse last week. I feel like that is what we all want to know.
Thanks. I think that in light of recent events in the Miami series with the guys getting beaned and who's retaliating, who's not retaliating. I think a crossover with The Sopranos would be nice. They could meet Tom Kohler in the parking lot with a little, you know, maybe a lead pipe, you know, something like that. And then I could picture them sitting in the clubhouse, maybe like Silvio, Paulie Walnuts, and David Wright watching a football game or something like that. And Uribe comes in because we know he doesn't like football, and he'll come in and turn it off, and then he'll be like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, you know, I just think for the comedy's sake, it'd be good.
Team does lack any good Goombas right now, though. I can say that as a Goomba myself. So I'm going for, I think I'm crossing over sort of the 80s, one of the classic sort of 80s comedy, maybe like a Mr. Belvedere or Charles in Charge, something like that. Because the one thing about the 2015 Mets has certainly been you get this conflict at the beginning of the episode, or the beginning of the game, if you will, but it's all wrapped up in the last 5 minutes. You get back to the status quo. The Mets win another baseball game. And you can also do a very special episode where Mr. Belvedere teaches Lucas Duda how to read.
I thought Lucas Duda was off limits.
Yeah, I'm the host. I can make up my own rules. This is episode 139 of Amazing Avenue Audio. I can't believe we've done this many of them. We are live at Pitch Talks, the Catch Brewery in Astoria. And so they asked us to do a prospect and minor league panel, which is good now that the Mets are 7.5 up. I realized a couple weeks ago, if I came in here and they get lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, or it was close, like they're only up 1 or 2 games going to the Yankee series, all of a sudden I'm like, let's talk about Brandon Nimmo and Ahmed Rosario. You would all kill me. Fortunately, that hasn't happened. They're 7.5 up with 16.5 to play. I guess you want to do the math. So we can talk a little about prospects. I do want to start with the prospects that have graduated, that have made an impact on this 2015 team, and there's plenty of them. And I'm going to start with the guy that was number one on our midseason list, and that's Michael Conforto, who I saw in the spring for the B-Mets in June and July, somewhere in there. It's all a blur. It's the end of the minor league season. I'm basically exhausted. But the thing for me is, and there were a lot of reports were coming out on Conforto at the time. Apparently, and I'll start with you, Toby, they were all low.
Quite low. Is there a question, or is that...
No, that's not really a question. That was a statement.
Yeah,
fact.
I think I saw him in Brooklyn last year, and I missed him this spring. I think the simplest answer to the non-question is that he improved.
Yeah.
And, you know, even New York Penn League pitchers were able to get inside on him last year with fastballs, and you don't see a lot of pitchers doing that anymore. He sort of had this weird, a lot of guys in college had this weird metal bat swing, and he sort of figured something out in terms of his hand path on a hitting mechanics level. So I think the simplest answer is that's a guy who got better pretty quickly. And that's not something that you necessarily want to predict or plan on when you're evaluating a guy. When you look at a player, you say, this is what he can do now. If he's really young, if he's Ahmed Rosario, we'll get to him, I'm sure, in a little bit. You say, this is where he'll grow, this is where he won't grow, this is what will make him better or worse. But Conforto got better in a hurry, and I didn't quite think he would be this good this fast. I didn't know he would ever be this good, actually, given what he's done this summer. He's been great. So that's certainly a nice surprise.
I mean, you just have to like everything that you see about him. There were some rumblings that he was a liability in the outfield, or at least average. And, you know, it's early to tell on the numbers, but the numbers in the eye test don't disagree here. You know, he's solid at worst. And I really like his arm. And I don't know if this is a move that they want to make during the